Yes, Lord. Let a generation, O Lord, arise who will seek to live for your glory, who will seek your face, who will possess the promised life of Christ, who will have victory over the sin, over sin, over the world, and over the devil. And grant us the grace as parents and as elders to mentor, O Lord, a next generation which will seek you with all of their heart. Bless us, O Lord, even as we meditate upon your word this morning. Speak to our hearts, anoint us afresh. Lord, we need, O Lord, a confirmation that you would confirm the word. Lord, unless you come and confirm, the words of man will fall to the ground. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, quicken these words. And that, Lord, you would speak, Lord, life into us this morning. For you and you alone have the words of life. And the words that you speak are spirit and life. And therefore, O Lord, through your word, quicken us. Quicken us, O Lord Jesus. Wherever, whatever areas, Lord, there is decay and death. Resurrect and restore. Speak to us this morning. Anoint us to hear. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you. Commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This is 1 week after the Resurrection Sunday. So we'll just continue in the theme of resurrection, which is such a central theme for us as believers. Christianity is not a story, a faith based upon some stories. In Telugu, it is Kalpana Kathalu. They're not stories. Christianity is based upon historical facts that there was a man, Jesus Christ, who came, was confirmed by history, prophesied in the Old Covenant through his prophets, through his servants, confirmed in history, and that he was crucified by the Romans, and the Jews handed him over to be crucified. And this was also the pre-counsel of God, the foreknowledge of God allowed that to happen. He was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose again from the dead. These are all historical facts established through eyewitness accounts. And Christianity rises and stands, falls or stands on this particular historical fact. Unless and until we believe in this, there's no other, there's no meaning. Like we heard last Sunday, there's no meaning in preaching. We are still dead in our trespasses. There is no, our faith is in vain. Everything that we do here in the church for the next 3 hours, whatever 2 hours that we, three hours that we spend on a Sunday morning, and every time that we come together as a body of believers, absolutely in vain if Christ Jesus did not raise from the dead. It's central. One of the six foundational pillars of Christianity, of the doctrines of faith, you have repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. These are the foundational principles of Christianity. Okay, resurrection. So this morning, and encountering the resurrection, resurrected Jesus is central to our faith as well as believers. We should have encountered. I mean, not personally like the way the apostles encountered, but through the scriptures, through his spirit. There was an encounter that happened when you repented of your sins. I remember the day that I was converted. The day when I was converted, the spirit of the Lord was zeroing on me that day through the preacher. Just pointing that day toward me. Calling out my rebellion. Jesus Christ, who became a curse for us on the tree, he was buried and he rose again to take away the curse and take away the sin, especially to deal with that old Adam, the rebel in our lives. And that day I was converted because I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and I knew that Jesus is alive. You see, it's central to every conversion. So, if you look at the most important verse for salvation is Romans chapter 10. We know this verse very well. That if you confess in your heart, sister Elsa was praying, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Salvation is based upon this, that you have to believe in your heart. It's something which happens. It's a spirit who causes us to believe. He gives us the faith to believe.
Somebody wrote in the prayer request, Lord, unless and until you cause us to repent. Yes, it's the Spirit of God who causes, He pours out His Spirit upon us and causes us to repent. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is how Paul actually summarizes the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what he says. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. I think it was one of the children who was singing last couple of Sundays back. She was saying, living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He took my sins far away, rising He justified, freed me forever, and one day He's coming back. Oh, glorious day. So our entire life, the Christian belief is based upon this. He died according to the scriptures, that He was buried and He rose on the third day according to the scriptures, and He was seen by Peter, Cephas and the 12, and after that He was seen by 500 brothers. He was also seen by Paul. So these are all people who are witnesses of the resurrection and salvation everywhere. If you read through the book of Acts, whenever people got saved, you see that the resurrection was preached, even in Gentile territory. Not only in Jewish territory. I'll just give you an example. It can show you several examples, but look at what it says in Acts chapter 10. This is when Peter is called to the household of Cornelius. The Gentiles receive the gospel the very first time. Verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him, and we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Why? Cursed is a man who hangs on a tree, right? Him God raised upon the third day and showed Him openly. Okay. Not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God. So if you have encountered Jesus Christ when you heard the gospel, it was something God chose you even before the foundations of the world were laid. He chose you. Okay, even to us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead, to Him all the prophets witness, etc., etc. Whoever believes in Him will have remission of their sins. And when Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured upon Gentiles, for they heard Him speak in tongues and magnify God. See what happened in this, when they preached resurrection, the Holy Spirit came and witnessed, and they were converted. They repented of their sins, and they converted and they believed. Salvation took place when they heard that Jesus died for their sins, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose from the dead. It's as simple as that. Acts chapter 17, another place where Paul is speaking to the Gentiles. Again, this is Gentile territory. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked or winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this by raising Him from the dead. Then what happens next? When people hear about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear. Some mocked, some postponed. Look at the next verse. However, some men joined Him and believed. So this is how there are three kinds of responses. People will mock, people will postpone, or people will believe. Okay. All because they encountered the resurrected Jesus Christ through preaching. Okay. So if we have encountered Jesus, there should be some, signs in our lives. Let me tell you something. The reasons why many of the people's conversion is not so clear. You know why? Because they have not encountered Jesus. They do not have a personal encounter with the risen Lord. That is the reason why their faith is so shallow. They have not encountered the person of Jesus. It was all hearsay. It was either dad's faith or mom's faith or pastor was preaching. They never encountered God. Because if you encounter God personally, your life will change. I mean, there's no way your life is going to be the same. Okay. That is the reason why we have to pray for our own children who are born in believing families, that they will encounter the risen Lord. The day when they encounter the risen Lord, you can actually breathe a big sigh of relief. Because God has truly visited them and God has truly touched them. Okay.
I remember when I got saved, it was showing on my face. Really a radical experience. Because I encountered the risen Savior. When you have encounters with God, with the risen Jesus, something's going to happen to you drastically. This morning I want to look at, this is one of my favorite passages. I've never done this before, but always had in my mind and my heart to share this. Let's look at 7 conversions that happened. You know, one of the alphabets, one of the letters of the alphabet, when you hear it, you don't have a very positive sense of that alphabet. You know, what is that alphabet in the Bible? Generally in the English language, one is D. Okay. Because if you get a D, that means you're just pass. Okay. C also okay. C minus, fine, but you're D. You are as good as fail. A, B, C. That's it. D. You don't want to get a D grade, okay? Yeah. D. I mean, when you think about D, oh no, every time you get all negative words. I mean, I was thinking actually this morning, I was thinking about the word D. I mean, the letter D. Death. Despair. Debt. Okay. Drown. Deadlock. I mean, I was only getting D. I'm looking, can I just find one positive word? Dance, that's the only word. I was thinking about that. No, D. And if you look at the mighty men of David, they had 3 D's in their life. You remember the 3 D's? The 3 D's in their life. And nothing was positive. So D, if you look at the letter D, D stands for something negative. But when you encounter Jesus, the D becomes A+. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Encounters with the living God. And by the way, if you look at the resurrection, the resurrected Jesus showed himself only to his, another D, that is disciples. Okay? Even discipline also is not a very positive word, no? D for discipline. The only word which I get is dance. Okay, so encounters with the resurrected Lord. What will happen? Something drastic will happen. I'll tell you something. If you want to have ask the Lord, that you will have an encounter with him. And your life will not be the same again. Okay? Encounters with the risen Lord. This morning, I want to share briefly on that. John's Gospel chapter 20. Let's look at the first D. But Mary stood outside. She goes to the tomb. She finds it empty. The stone is rolled away. Outside the tomb, weeping, and she wept. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And when she saw 2 disciples in white sitting, one on the head and on the other at his feet, where the body of the Lord, a body of Jesus, had been laid. Okay? So past tense now. I mean, it's a picture of the mercy seat. 2 cherubim. Okay? 2 cherubim and the blood on the mercy seat, which brings what? Forgiveness of sins and redemption. It's a picture of that. They asked this question. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" You know, one of the most incredible, unbelievable Jewish prayers, every Jewish man, when he prays every day in the morning, when he stands, he says, "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not a Gentile. I'm not a woman. I'm not a slave." This is how he prays. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not a Gentile, that I'm not a woman, I'm not a slave. But it's remarkable. The resurrected Lord shows himself first to who? To woman. He's completely shattering the status quo of the religious class. And your salvation is going to lie upon believing the witness of the woman whom you despised. And this is Mary Magdalene, the very first person, the very first person who has an encounter with the risen Lord. She is a disciple, by the way. She is a disciple. The first D, the despairing disciple. The despair, she is in despair. Because she loved Jesus for with everything in our heart. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel chapter 8 that there were certain women who followed Jesus everywhere and supported his ministry, especially Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus delivered 7 demons. Amazing, right? Jesus' ministry was supported by hard-working women. Hard-working women. We need to learn a lot from women, by the way. I'm telling you, this Bible is, this particular passage in the resurrection passage, it's somehow it's so central. The first person to get deceived was a woman. Because she heard the voice of the serpent. That is how Jesus starts his restoration, by visiting back the deceived woman and delivering her from her despair. Despairing disciple. Look at what it says in John's Gospel chapter 20. She turned and said, because they have taken away from my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? It's amazing, no? It's not, again, what is that? Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? It's remarkable. Next verse. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And the way she responds, she turned and said to him, what is that? Rabboni. You know what Rabboni means? Not teacher. My teacher. I'll tell you something. Why people are in despair is because that teaching of the word is lost. You know why? The building of the church is based upon the fivefold ministry of Jesus Christ. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. There is despair in the church. There is deception in the church. You know why? Because we have lost teachers and teaching. You see, the teachers are just not only supposed to teach, they have to demonstrate their teaching with their life. It's important. Absolutely. You cannot be a teacher without a demonstration of the same word happening in your own life. Otherwise, it will be a dead word. Another D. Look at what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. This is what it says. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. Understand this. That's the equation. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And the next verse. For a long time, Israel had been without the true God, without a what? A teaching spirit, a teaching priest. So that was a function of the Levites. The Levites were given the Urim and the Thummim. What is the Urim and the Thummim? Urim means lights, revelation. And the Thummim, a revelation and a life which goes according to the light that you have received. See, memorizing scripture will not give you light. Studying scripture will give you understanding, but not light. Meditation will give you light. It's a meditation. That's the reason why the exhortation for Joshua, before he enters into the promised land, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your eyes, that you shall meditate upon it day in and day out. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy strength, with all of thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day, we should be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently. How? Diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when you walk by the way, when you sit in your house, when you lie down, when you rise up, you should bind them as signs on your hand. They should be as frontlet between your eyes. That means your life has to be saturated with teaching. Why do young men go into captivity? Because they do not have the teaching. I mean, just not teaching. They do not have role models or teachers who have witnessed through their life the teaching that is working in their own lives. Long time. And those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, not to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all inhabitants of the lands. You know why? There was no teaching. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. Why? Why? Because you have to hold on to what? Teaching. And what does she say? Rabboni, my teacher. Mark's Gospel chapter 10. This is Bartimaeus. Jesus asked him, what are you seeking, Bartimaeus? He says, Lord, I want to receive my sight. Look at what he says. Next verse. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, what is that? What did he say? Rabboni. Rabboni. I want teaching. I want enlightenment. You know, one of the most incredible psalms in the book of Psalms, which I love the most. You know, remember that word? It says, he sent forth his word and healed them. That entire chapter has got five categories of people. One of the categories of people, the first category, this is Psalm 101, 107. Those who sat in what? Darkness and the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and chains. Why are they bound? Because they don't have truth. Why are they afflicted? Because they don't have truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's a light. Because they rebelled against the, again, look at this, words of the Lord. The teaching that they received, they rebelled against it. You know, one of the things that we have to deal with as believers is to deal with the rebel in our own heart. And you know something? That rebel has got several flavors. He's a chameleon. He's submissive in some areas and very tough in other areas. So because you're submissive in some areas, you think that you're submissive in all areas. No, you're not. Some things that you easily accept because you agree. Because you have come in agreement with the word and you are walking with the Lord in that area, because can two walk together unless they are agreed? You agree. But in lots of areas in your life, you do not agree. And therefore, with the Lord, you cannot walk in those areas. In fact, you don't not only agree, you resist. Okay. Resist. Think about it. So many areas. You know, when the preaching happens, some areas you would agree. Yes, yes, you will say amen. But some areas you will say, I don't agree. Okay. I don't agree. Although it is true. It's not like you're saying, okay, I receive that word. You're not a Berean, basically. So there's a difference between a Berean and a rebel. Berean says, okay, fine. Bible itself says, test every spirit. Hold fast to what is good. Cling to what is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Abstain from what? Abstain from what? Let me tell you something. Abstain from every appearance of evil, meaning evil will look good to attract you first. Because a tree, there were two trees. What were the two trees? A tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's a lot of good. But along with that good comes the evil. And you know what clings to you? Evil. Now think about it, no? We'll say, no, the movie is very nice. Clean, but. Now, what clings to you? That one scene. That one scene. That is the reason why the Bible says, I would you, brethren, that you should be wise, excellent in what is good, and innocent. Simple, in other words, other translation, simple concerning evil. But in all of us, there is a rebel. We agree in so many areas, but we disagree strongly. Not only disagree, we rebel. That's there in all of us. We don't digest it. Okay. That's the reason why, you know, There were lamentations and woe. And you know what God tells Ezekiel? Son of man, eat what is there. What is there? Lamentations of woe. Eat it. You don't be rebellious like the other people. And when he starts eating it, you know what he says? It was like honey to my lips. Understood the heart of God. So what happens? Because of words, because they despise the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor and they fell down. There was none to help them. See all the D's over there? Down, down. They were rebelling. They were distressed. They despised. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from all their. Again, you see, ain't you see the D? So what did he do? He brought them out of. Again, another D. Darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. When did this happen? When they surrendered, I said, Lord, I don't understand this, but I want to come under the authority of your word. And I want to surrender. I want to agree with you. You will have the peace of God. And you know what happens next verse? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. You know why? There was this lady. One thing about Mary Magdalene. You know what she said? Rabboni, my teacher, I agree with you with every area in my life. You are my Lord. And the very first person Jesus meets after his resurrection is to the despairing disciple and comforts her and says, don't despair. I was dead. I'm alive. First is the despairing disciple. Second disciple. The dreadful disciple is dreading. He's in fear. Fear. Now, we are all people who are fearful. The first category of people who will experience second death, who will go into Hades, is the fearful. Next is unbelieving. Not the sorcerers, not the murderers, not the fornicators first. It's the unbelieving and the fearful. But again, this is again. Again, it's woman. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 28. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And ran to bring the disciples the word. Did it stop there? You know what? The next verse is remarkable, powerful. And as they went out to tell his disciples, behold, kya baat hai? Jesus met them. Said what? Rejoice. So they came, held him by the feet, and worshipped him. All the fears are gone. Because they met Jesus. They met Jesus. You know, it changes your life drastically. Radically changes. You know why? The greatest fear for all of us in different places, in different areas, is because there's a fear of death. Okay. Fear of death is there for everybody. It doesn't matter how accomplished you are. How accomplished you are in the normal, natural realm. When you grow older, and when death is coming closer and closer, all your degrees, all your studies, all the wealth and the money that you have earned for yourself, nothing is going to come to your rescue. I mean, I tell you about my boss, right? My ex-boss. Brilliant guy. One of the most celebrated and decorated robotics scientists in India and in the world. Single-handedly, he took IIIT from being the nothing, no rank at all, from the top 50 ranks in the world. in the robotics department especially, single-handedly. But when death comes, you know what happens? You cannot escape the curse. You can postpone thinking about it, but it will come knocking at your door. Understand? You know who that's the reason why the wise person is the person who says, Lord, teach us to what? Number our days so that what? So that we can gain a heart of wisdom. Wasting time, saints. If anything other than the pursuit of God, you know, one of the healthy discontentments that you can have, a godly, holy discontentment, is to have more of God. I'm not content, Lord. I'm not content. Worshipped. Why? Because he broke the fear of death. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 1. When I saw him, I fell at his face as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. Amen. No, this is Jesus only saying amen to himself. Five, and I have the what? The keys. Meaning what? I have the authority now. Behold, all authority under heaven, on earth, is given to him. Especially over Hades and over death. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2. Inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. You know, the toughest exam he cleared. Yeah, literally. Now he is asking us to clear the simple exams. In other words, he crushed the head of the serpent. Now the tail is wagging. All you have to do is what? Deal with the tail. So that you also can taste victory. That's the idea. It's just like, you know, you solve a very tough problem for your child, and next time he or she is solving a problem, she said, Daddy, don't tell. Don't give me the answer. You say, wow. Okay, solve better. And when he solves, the joy. Mothers are looking at their daughters. yeah, you say, Don't tell me the answer. I want to do it myself. See? Toughest problem is solved. Okay. Head of the serpent is crushed. Only deal with his tail. He's only a roaring lion. He's a defanged devil. Okay. Don't give him a foothold in your life. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know, him being delivered by determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put him to death, whom God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was what? Not possible. Why? The wages of sin is what? Death. But did Jesus sin? No. So if Jesus sinned, he should only taste death but not die. Only tasted death. You know, remember, one man of God gave me a very interesting example. In those days, when my mother's and my grandmother's days, when they used to cook chicken, you know how they used to check if the chicken is cooked? You know what they used to do? Take a small piece, put it in their mouth, and after they chew it a little bit, and after they do what? Now what is that? Spit it out. They don't swallow it. They spit it out. Okay. It's exactly what Jesus did. He tasted death and spat it out. Gone. It's over. Death has no more control over our lives. You don't have to be afraid of death. It was not possible for him. God raised him from the dead. So don't have to be fearful. God delivers us from fear. There was a despairing disciple. There was a fearful disciple. Both encountered Jesus. And by the way, both were women. Thank you, Jesus. The first two witnesses were women. The third witness, the difficult ones. Look at the difficult people. Women believe so easily. To get one man saved. Look at what it says. What is this? The third? Disillusioned disciples. What does disillusion means? They are thinking something. This is what they are anticipating. But something else is happening. They are not able to relate both of them. What is stopping them from believing? Two things. Argument and reason. What is that? Remember that my dad told me several years back. He said, one German, one scientist. Two Germans, two scientists. Three Germans, Third World War. One American, one business. Two Americans, two business. Three Americans, paradise on earth. Then he said, Vijay, one Indian, philosopher. Two Indian, argument. Three Indian, confusion. Because we argue, we have so many theories. So many theories. Luke's Gospel chapter 24, this is what it says. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was, I like that, 7 miles from Jerusalem. You know, this is a very interesting geographical location. 7 miles away from Jerusalem. I think they are very far from perfection. Jerusalem means teaching. Emmaus means, by the way, the word Emmaus means hot springs. Why do you go to hot springs? Relax. Full of stress. You know? Where do you find men a lot? In saunas. They're going to the sauna. All the stress and confusion away from Jerusalem. You want to relax. Emmaus. And they together talked of all these things which had happened. So it was when they conversed and reasoned. You know, the word for reason is very interesting. It is not, reason means not a positive word here in this case. That Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were, so if you begin to reason, your eyes will be what? Restrained. So they did not know him. Next. But Jesus, sorry. Oh my goodness, where was I? Excuse me. Somebody can turn with to Mark's Gospel chapter 1, please. Luke's Gospel chapter 25. Oh yeah, verse 17. Apologize. Yeah, verse 17. Look at what it says. What kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walk? And are sad. Then the one whose name was Cleopas. You know what the word Cleopas means? Of a glorified father. My father is very great. That's what this Cleopas means. Okay. Answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And you have not known the things which happened there these days? And he answered, what things? This is what Jewish way of teaching, no? You answer a question with a question. So they said, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and before God. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. See, what were they doing? They were questioning. This questioning always happens. It's always negative. I'll show you one verse. No, Mark's Gospel chapter 1. When Jesus comes and teaches in the synagogue the very first time, no? They are astonished at the teaching. Look at what they say. Then they were all amazed. So what did they do? They questioned. So they reasoned. Second day, question. Third one, Mark's Gospel chapter 8. Then the Pharisees came out, began to dispute. Reason, question, dispute, eyes closed. See that? So, this is it. Verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel.
Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. See, if you, in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, of all those people, we are what? The most miserable, the pitiable. That's exactly what is happening to two disciples. Disillusioned disciples. And verse 22, look at what it says, the next verse. Yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us. They told us that the Lord is risen and we don't want to believe them. Because they are typical Jews. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not a Gentile, woman, or a slave. They do not want to accept the witness of a woman. You know what common things they will say? Are all these women are emotional. They'll cry and weep and think a lot of things. Okay. It's very interesting. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they also saw a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the woman had said. But they still did not. You see that? How tough men are. What is blocking their reasoning, disputing, and questioning? And Jesus has a fantastic rebuke. Look at what he says, the next one. And he said to them, "Oh, you foolish ones." He didn't say you are behaving like foolish people. No. You are foolish. What are you doing? Reasoning, questioning, disputing. And look at what the next verse he says. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. One of the things that I've realized in my walk with the Lord over several years, I'm slow to respond to Jesus when the word comes. I'm quick to negate, but very slow to believe and obey. And this slowness is where? In the heart. It's not in the mind. It's in the heart. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, what did he do? I love that word, expounding. You know what the word expounding means? Interpret. And whenever the word interpretation comes, you know what interpretation means? Always concerning with the Spirit. Look at what the word interpret, where the word interpret occurs another time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? It's all concerned with the Spirit. Another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 5. I would that all speak in tongues, but rather all prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than the one who speaks with tongues, except he, what? Interpret. And what did he do? He expounded the scriptures. He showed them everything concerning him, from the prophets, from the Bible. And you know what Jesus says? You search the scriptures, you search the scriptures, you search the scriptures. Why? You think that you have eternal life, but you never come to me. Don't search the person. Then next verse. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated or acted as if he was going further, but they constrained him. I love that. You know what they said? Please, don't go. Constrain. Abide. This is what you need to do with your word. Lord, teach me. Speak to me through your word. Okay. When you ask this, God will never disappoint you. But he will check. He will see if you are interested. He will see how hungry you are. Because he's not going to throw pearls before swine. He's not going to give something which is holy to the dogs, lest you trample it under your feet. You have to value him.
And what should you value more? You should value Him. Constrain Him. Abide with us. For it is toward evening, and this, and the day is far spent. And He went in to stay with them. You know what? This is basically what you are doing. You know, you literally are asking Jesus to come into your heart. What will happen? All your confusions will go away. One of the things that you need to understand. If you have Jesus in your heart. That's the reason why 1 John chapter 2 verse number 27 says. If the anointing is upon you. You don't need anybody to teach you. The anointing itself will do what? He will teach you. And show you all things. So what should you ask God for? The anointing. There should be an anointing for me to speak. There should be an anointing for you to hear. And there should be an anointing for you to believe and to obey. And whatever confusions you have about the word. God is able to take those things and remove all the disillusions. If you have an honest seeking heart. And if you constrain Him. There are two kinds of students. Students who wait for the bell to ring. And after the class is over, they all disappear. They're waiting when the lecture is going to get over. But then there are students who will stay. In fact, they will come and eat the professor's head. Sir, this. Please tell me this, sir. Please tell me this, sir. Tell me who will get the subject? Understand? Okay. Abide in His presence. That's the reason I like Joshua in the old covenant. The Spirit of God would come. Moses would go to the tent of meeting. And the Spirit of God would be there. And there would be a glory of God coming and visiting all. And everybody would see it. Moses would depart. But who stays there? Back? Joshua. He stays back. Doesn't run away from the presence of God. He wants the anointing to continue to flow into him and continue to teach him. Don't be in a hurry to run away from God. Don't be in a hurry to do your Bible readings. Don't be in a hurry. Wait. Constrain him. Say, Lord, teach me. He's asking you to stop him. You know, if I have a student who says, sir, one more question, sir. Please tell me this also, sir. You know what? How happy I'll be. It's exactly what Jesus is looking for. There was an exposition of scriptures. And they said, stop now. Stop. Abide with us. And you know what happens when he abides with them? Look at the next verse. And they said to one another, did not our what? Heart burn with us. While he talked with us on the road. And he opened up the scriptures. I liked what Warren Wiersbe said. No, he said, what we don't need is a big head. We need a burning heart. Not a big head. But a burning heart. After that, their lives are completely transformed. Radically transformed. And look at what it says. Next verse. So they arose and that very hour... They did not run away from Jerusalem. Run back to Jerusalem. In the night. Not in the day. Because it was night. That very hour the Bible says. Returned to Jerusalem. Found the 11 who were with them. Gathered together. Saying the Lord is risen. And he has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road. And how he was known to them by the breaking of bread. The disillusioned disciples. God meets them. He exposits the scriptures. And one of the things that I always tell people. Have a life in the word. Doesn't matter. How many of you can read? Show me your hands please. This is half. Okay, read. Okay. Read. I want to show you a verse. If it's there. Can somebody can read for me for Isaiah 34 verse 16 please? Yes, verse 16. From your Bible. Quickly. Isaiah 34 verse number 16. Isaiah 34 verse number 16. quickly. Yes, 34:16 beta. A search from the book of the law and read. Okay, that's enough. What will not fail? One of these will not fail. Search from the book of the law and read. That's the reason why in the book of Deuteronomy, you know what he told us, what told the kings? When you become a king, one thing that you need to do, you have to have a handwritten copy of the law. All the days of your life. Have to have a relationship with the word. Just not reading and studying, but delighting. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight and in his law doth he day and night. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is of good repute, if there is anything good, think on these things. If you have only doing that, do you have time for anything else? No. Think on these things. Right? So you have the despairing disciple, the fearful disciples, the disillusioned disciples, and all their questions have been answered. You know why? Because they met the what? The resurrected Jesus. The fourth one. The disoriented disciples. You know what disoriented means? They have no compass in their life. They are confused. They are absolutely disoriented. They don't have any focus. There's no direction in their lives. You see young people, they don't have direction. Most of them are confused. And you know how they're confused? You look at their eyes. You look at their eyes, you'll know that they have no focus in their lives. Luke's Gospel chapter 24, this is what it says. Now, as they stood, said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that he was a what? A ghost. They lost their compass. Next verse. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh, bones, as you have. As you see that I have. Next verse. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? What is the food? Fish and honeycomb. And he took it and they ate. See? All confused. And what is the first thing that he says? Peace be to you. You're all confused. You're all in different directions. Mind is not focused at all. Unite my heart, the Bible says in Psalms 85, verse number 11, to fear your name. One thing that I have desired. One thing is needed. Your mind is distracted in several places, several directions. You're disoriented. When you go to universities, especially after you finish 12th class, okay, class 12, and you when you go into university, the first thing they have is student orientation. What orientation? You know why they should have student orientation? Because university is not like college. Because your mind is all disoriented. You think that the professors in university will be like your teachers in class, where they will sit with you and help you with every problem. No. University, it's a completely radical shift that happens. Because you have completely different perceptions and presuppositions about what is going on in the class, you have to have a reorientation. That's exactly what happened to the disciples. They're all focused. Their focus is gone. In his presence. Next verse. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But they still marveled. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they may understand the what? Scriptures. That's what we prayed this sang in the morning, right? Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I want to see you. One of the reasons why we lose our compass is because, again, you do not have a life in scriptures. That's what Paul tells Timothy. Right from childhood, you know the scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation. What is able to make you wise unto salvation? The scriptures. A life in the word. And then he said, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer. Why were they disoriented? Because they never thought that suffering was for them. They never believed in suffering. They believed in reigning one to the left and one to the right. And when they saw one thief to the left and one thief to the right, they all ran for their lives. Because they did not sign up for this. They did not choose the path of suffering. They did not like suffering. Jesus said, Christ had to suffer and to be risen from the third day. And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning in Jerusalem. You see, this is the crux of Christianity. There is no glory without suffering. There is no inheritance without suffering. If you suffer with him, what will happen to you? Then only you will reign. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we also bear. Glorified together with him. That is the process. Don't fight the process. In 1 Peter chapter 4, this is what it says. Don't think it's strange, no? If you're going through suffering, don't think it's strange. If you're going through suffering, there's one thing for sure. The Spirit of glory and of God is resting upon you. Okay. What is suffering? Suffering for the sake of righteousness. Somebody asked me, how do you know that God called you? I told them, every time I made a decision for God, it was always inconvenient. That is how I know that God called me. It was inconvenient. When all the things were good that God called. Every time I had to step out, it was inconvenient. You need to understand. So suffering means what? Suffering means suffering in the flesh. What is suffering? Saying no to your flesh. That is suffering. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Arm yourself with the same mind or same thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from what? Sinning. This is armor. So one of the things that all of us have to start asking God to think different. To have a mindset to say no. I remember that famous, the seven words of Jesus Christ on the cross. Remember? He's going through excruciating pain. And through that pain, he says, I thirst. And you know what they do? They take a little bit of vinegar, a sponge, it's basically cheap liquor. That's the liquor that all the soldiers drink. So they take a little bit of vinegar. They put some sponge in it. They give it to him. You know what he does? Why do they give him vinegar? The reason why they want to give him vinegar is so that they can somehow dullen and lessen the pain that he's going through. You know what Jesus says? No. He doesn't take it. And the Bible says, so that scriptures might be fulfilled. He says, I thirst. Even in the most excruciating of circumstances, this is the cup that my Father gave me and I will drink it. Not any other cup which will dullen my senses. You see that? It's a path of suffering. And what was he doing? Even from the cross, he was teaching us a lesson. What was he saying? He was saying, no. He was saying, no. That's the reason that the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to say, no. To ungodliness and worldly passions. So that we might live upright and godly lives. And look for the blessed hope. That is suffering. Only when there is suffering, there is glory. So, you have the despairing disciple. You have the fearful disciple. You have the disillusioned disciple. You have the disoriented disciple. Fifth one, the discomfited disciple. You know what discomfort means? Embarrassed. These are people who failed Jesus. How many of you failed Jesus? All of us. And embarrassed. It's like, you know, you have to return some money that you borrowed from somebody. And every time you see that fellow's face, you're embarrassed. So what do? You want to avoid him. And suddenly he must have even forgotten about the debt that he owes to you. And then he suddenly comes and sits and he's having a smile on his face. And you say, sorry, brother, I will return it, okay? That is embarrassment. They're all embarrassed. Because they all said, even if everybody forsakes you, we will not forsake you. That's what Peter said. Peter ran, they ran. Why? Because of their sin. They're embarrassed. John's Gospel, chapter 20. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, what? Peace. Shanti. Don't be embarrassed. You don't have to be. Don't feel ashamed because I took your shame on the cross. You don't have to feel embarrassed. And then what happens? And he showed his hands and his feet. Then the disciples were very glad when they saw the Lord. The next verse is very powerful. He says, peace. As the Father sent me, I also send you. And what did he do? He breathed upon them. And what happened to them? They received the what? The Holy Spirit. Now what happens? They are born of the Spirit. What do they have? The very life of God has been breathed into their lives. Next verse. Your sins have been what? Forgiven. Just as I forgive your sin, you forgive others as well. See that? You don't have to feel embarrassed. You know, one of the things that you can be easy. It's very difficult to be humble. Okay, it's not easy to be humble. Okay, it is not easy to be. It is very difficult to be pure. Not easy to be pure. Okay, it is very difficult to be righteous in all matters. Not easy. But the easiest thing that you can be with God, you know what? Be honest. With God. Not with everybody. With God you can be honest. The easiest. God, this is what I did. This is who I am. You don't have to feel embarrassed. All the embarrassment will be taken away. Okay. He's waiting for that. A lot of people that's ashamed. They're in darkness because they committed so many sins. You know, the worst thing that can happen to a child is to have a hidden life. They're one thing outside and one thing in secret. And then what happens? They pretend before their parents and they pretend that there's something else with their friends. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Somebody was telling me some years back, I don't know who it was, I can't remember. He said, I tell my children, whatever you do, don't hide from me. Please don't pretend before me. But in our culture, we are a shame-based culture. So, that's what we say. We are an embarrassment. I mean, that kind of a culture. Eastern cultures are like that. I mean, even the Jewish culture, you see, one of the reasons why it's so difficult for the people from the Islamic faith to become believers, you know why? Because they said, you know what, you brought us shame to the family. Remember Nabil Quraysh's testimony, remember? He said, he went and told David, I want to get baptized, you're going to baptize me. And he said, I'm not going to baptize you unless and until you go and tell your parents that you got saved. He said, no, you are baptizing me, I don't care. This coming Saturday, you are going to baptize me. You know what David said? I'm going to pray for you that your parents will come to know. So he went, that very evening, his parents came to visit him. And he just went to the bathroom and his chat was open and friends from all over were saying, congratulations, Nabil, in advance that you're getting baptized tomorrow. Parents saw it. His father. And the moment they saw it, this guy comes out of the bathroom and he looks at their face, looks at the chat. And you know what he says? His father said, you know what, Nabil, it's as if you took my heart from me. And he asked the Lord, Lord, why? Why did you not kill me the day I got saved? The moment I got saved. Because he got shame to our family. He said, that is how the Eastern cultures are. It's not easy for them. But you know what Jesus says? If you are ashamed of me, but you don't have to be ashamed. You know why? Because he took away the shame. You don't have to be embarrassed. You can be bold because that shame is taken away. But discomfited disciples, they are embarrassed because of what they have done. They don't want to show their face. Embarrassed because your father caught you. You know, it's if your father caught you in an act and he begins to weep, you're blessed. You know what he says? He's actually telling you, you broke my heart. Yeah. You broke my heart. So they were just hanging their heads in shame, and you know Jesus said, don't have to be. Peace. Peace. Your sins are forgiven. I knew that you did it not willingly. It was because you did not have the strength during that time to resist. You were not like Judas. Alright, so you have the five kinds of disciples: the despairing, the fearful, the disillusioned, the disoriented, and the discomforted. Sixth one, doubting disciple. We know who's that person who is doubting. What's his name? Just not Thomas, everybody. Okay, everybody was doubting. I'll show you. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse number 24. Now Thomas called the twin. He had a twin brother, okay? One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and I put my finger in the print of his nails and put my hand on his side, I will not believe. Now, you don't just judge Thomas because everybody did not believe. Look at what it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, about the other disciples. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, by the testimony, they did not believe. And after that, he appeared in another form to two of them. Who are these people? Cleopas and the other, right? As they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the others, but they did not believe. You see that? Next verse. And later he appeared to the 11, and they sat at the table, and he rebuked because of their unbelief and hardness of heart. These are all disciples. Matthew chapter 28, look at the next verse. This is the resurrected Jesus with saying right before their eyes, all authority under heaven and on earth is given to me. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into the mountain, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some, you see that? So many people doubting. Doubting disciples. Before you disbelieve, you have a doubt. Doubt, disbelief, disobedience. These are the three D's. You see, D has all negative connotations only. That is the reason don't get a D grade. At least get an F. Because in F, at least you know that you failed. D means you are neither. It is a Laodicean church. Neither cold nor hot. Okay? When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And look at what Jesus said. After 8 days, his disciples went again, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. Again, he said, what? Peace. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand. Put it to my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. If you can do something, Lord, do it for my son. Jesus literally turned the tables. If you can believe, all things are possible. Is it how Jesus turns? No, he just turns the tables. Lord, if you can do something, do it for me. Turn the tables. If you can believe, all things are possible. So what should you say? Help my unbelief. See? The unbelieving disciples. We all have. I told you, no? There are areas in our heart. We are absolutely hardened, okay? We are like rock. God has to break those areas. There are areas in our lives we will not believe for a breakthrough. There are certain people whom we have written off. This fellow is not going to get saved. You know, this is interesting, right? You have hope for a lot of children in your house. But one fellow, you'll say, this fellow, impossible. But you know what God is going to do? He's going to touch that guy. The very person whom you have written off, that will be the person who's going to bring glory to God. I believe it with all of my heart. Because it happened to me. Nobody thought in my entire family that I will be in ministry. Nobody. From my father's side and from mother's side. Nobody. You can ask them. The last person who will come into ministry is Vijay. You have the hope for the hopeless. Yeah. Then he said, reach your finger. And Thomas answered and said, Lord, to him, my Lord, my God. You know what Jesus said? He didn't commend him. He said, Thomas, because you saw me. So you are believing. Blessed are those who are those people there? Those Indians. One day you will become the missionary to India. And all those Indians who believed, who did not see me, and yet they believed. You see how things will change when you encounter Jesus? So you have the doubting disciple, the last one of the six, the most important for all of us. Seventh category, the defeated disciple. This is for all of us. All of us. Defeated by sin. Defeated by vice. Defeated by the world. We have messed up. And we think, when we look at our circumstances, I don't have hope. We are forgiven, but defeated. What did I say? We are forgiven, but defeated. So what do we do? John's Gospel, chapter 21. This is after several, this is Jesus coming to them over and over and over again. This is after 8 days he appeared for Thomas, and after several days now he is appearing to other disciples. And these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, and this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. And what did they say? Simon Peter said unto them, I am going. That's it. Enough. Okay, I'm forgiven, but I'm defeated. I'm no longer worthy to be called his disciple. I will go back to my old profession. It is better for me to be sitting there in the back of the church and be a normal Christian. Because I've failed God so many times. There's no hope for me. You know, this is one of the stories which actually inspires me the most. Defeated disciple, DD. So what did they say? He said, we are also going along with you. He said, this guy is a leader, Baba. Wherever he goes, positive or negative, people will follow. We are also going along with you. They immediately went out the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So should you thank God, or should you say, what is this, Lord? Defeat brings more defeat. You see that? You know, somebody said this. He said, anything that you do without God, you either fail miserably or you succeed even more miserably. Understand this. Anything that you do without God, you either fail miserably or you succeed even more miserably. Just imagine, if Peter would have caught a multitude of fish, what would happen to him? Thank you, Jesus. I knew. I did not tell you. We were not meant for this. We were supposed to be fishers, not of men, all our life. Did not tell Jesus, please depart from me, I'm a sinner. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning came, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you caught any food, or have you any food? And they answered and said to him, what? Again, I told you, no? It is very easy to be honest with God. Be honest. If you got a zero in your exam, say that you failed. There is hope for you. I told you, it's difficult to be pure. It is difficult to be humble. But one of the things that you can absolutely be easy with God is to be honest. Can we be honest with God? Absolutely. You may not be honest with other people because, you know, people will judge because that is the nature of man. But God will not. He will not condemn you. Right from the beginning, he was showing through the scriptures. He looked at that woman who was caught in adultery. He asked this question, woman, does anybody condemn you? She said, no, Lord, I also don't condemn you. Don't go and sin no more. Young man, your sins have been forgiven. For the Son of Man did not come to what? To condemn. But one thing that you have to be honest with God. If you are honest with God, there's hope for you. If you hide from God, there's no hope. What did they say? Lord, nothing to show. Next verse. And he said to them, cast your net on the other side, and you will find some. So they cast now, and they was able to draw in it because of the... They were not able to draw because of the multitude of the fish. Because there was a huge... You see, this is what happens. You know, you listen to Jesus. There's something that is going to break through. One of the things that all of us have to encounter is the resurrected Lord. You have to re-encounter him if you have not re-encountered over the past several years. You have to say, Lord, I have to have an encounter with you. I'm going through the most difficult days in my life. I want to encounter you because one word from you is going to change my situation. One word from you. But we have to be honest. There is no two ways about it. If you are not honest with God, if you hide from God, there's no hope. The worst thing that we can be is to pretend before God. Like Brother Wesley was praying in the morning. What is your name? Jacob. That's it. My name is Jacob. I'm a deceiver. Honest with God. That is when you know that you've been broken. Very difficult, no? When I say, it's very difficult to say amen. You see? So they cast the net on this. And then what happened next verse? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard this, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. Then as they stood, verse 9, they came to the land. They saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you caught. Verse 17. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? I know you're defeated, but one thing I'm going to ask you. You're honest, you're defeated. One thing, do you still love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Now, one of the things that I love about the disciples, all these 11 disciples, they always had love and respect for Jesus. That was always there. They might have felt disappointed with some of the decisions that he took. But they always loved him. You need to understand. They always loved him. And therefore they were loyal to him. Okay. Let me tell you, children. You may be disappointed by some of the decisions that your parents make for you. But in your heart, love them. Be loyal to them. Be loyal to them. Don't disappoint. I mean, that you may say, Lord, look at my parents, Lord. They don't understand me. Sometimes you'll say, you being, you know, when you're growing up, years, I also said that. My parents don't understand me. They're too tough. But in your heart, never despise them. It will not go well with you. See, the one disciple there, he later on he regretted, but he did not like Jesus. He was already the son of the devil. But Simon Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? You alone have the what? The words of the life. They loved him. That is absolutely clear. They might have failed him, but they always loved him. They were defeated, but they still loved him. David was defeated by sin, but he always loved God. Saul was defeated, but he did not love God. He loved the opinions of men than the opinions of God. You look at the Old Covenant. One of the things that Moses, he always loved God. Those people who love God can be and will be restored. Because they love God. No matter how many times you fail, if you have still the love for God in your heart, you will be restored. That's the only question he asks. He says, Simon Peter, do you love me? I remember when Eric and I were ordained that day, only one question pastor said to both of us. He looked at both of us and he said, Vijay and Eric, do you love Jesus more than anything else in your life? Only one question. Then feed my sheep, tend my lambs, all that comes later. But first thing, do you love him? And you know one of the things that you need to do? Even when you fail and you're defeated by sin, you should say, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. Yes, we all disappoint Jesus. But one thing you will say, Lord, I failed. But one thing, Lord, I don't have plan B. For me, going back is not an option. But I want to be honest with you. I don't want to love you. If you failed, if you messed up in your secret lives, you're leading a double life, you're pretending before God, you're indulging in something that you're not supposed to indulge in, and you're acting before somebody else, and you're saying, Lord, I'm defeated, I'm sick and tired of living this double life, be honest with God. But I want to tell you one thing, Lord, I love you. I don't have anywhere else to go. You're a defeated disciple. You're defeated, but yet you are a what? Disciple. And he will not despise you. You know what? One of the things that you have to grab with all of your heart. Anybody who comes to him, in no wise he will what? Cast out. He will not. You go to him and you say, like, you know, they say in Sanskrit, Anyada sharanam nasti, tvameva sharanam. I don't have anywhere else to go except your feet. Nobody else, nowhere else. So even if you're defeated and you confess your love and say, Lord, I love you, he will meet you. You know that I love you. And you know what Jesus said? Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you are younger, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. Remarkable. It's remarkable how Peter was, and I mean, this is what historians say, that when Peter was commissioned to be killed, both Peter and Paul, they were killed on the same year, if I'm right, according to historians. Okay, one was crucified upside down, and the other was beheaded. Both. One was the apostle to the Gentiles, one was the apostle to the Jews. Both were killed in the same year. Peter was apparently running away from Rome, because somebody said, you can run away, just run for your life. And when he was running away from Rome, he saw a vision of Jesus running towards Rome. And then he asked Jesus, Coardus, you have Bata shoe, no? Coardus, no? Coardus. He asked him, where are you going? Where goest thou, Lord? He said, Peter, you're running away. I'm going back to take your place. Okay. This is the death, right? So he goes back. And when he goes back, he tells the people, he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Lord was crucified. Crucify me upside down. That is how they died. That is how they showed his love to talk to Jesus. They were defeated, but in their heart, they loved God. They loved Jesus. You see, if you have love for Jesus, there is hope for you. If you do not have love for Jesus, there is no hope for you. See, that's what I'm telling you. It's easy to be honest with God. That's the easiest thing that you can do. Lord, I'm this. Deal with me. And he will change you. The last one. Delivered disciples. That's the only positive D that I can talk about today. Positive D. We have to end on a higher note, right? Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You know what happens next verse? And these signs will follow those who believe. All these things will follow. In my name you will cast out demons, new tongues you will speak with, you will take up serpents. If you drink anything, it will not hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And next verse, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working what? With them, and confirming the word through accompanying signs. You know what has happened now? They've been delivered. Not only just delivered, to set other people free. Delivered to deliver other people. From defeat, being people who are delivered to deliver other people. All this, you know why? Because they encountered the risen Lord. And when did this happen? 50 days after resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they turned the world upside down. So this morning, you know what God is asking? Doesn't matter if you're defeated, you're discouraged, you're doubting. If you encounter me, I can change your circumstance. But only one thing I ask, do you love me? That's all I ask. Will you be honest with me? I remember in my own life, so many times I failed God. So many times. So many mistakes. Not just mistakes, sins. Call it what it is. And whenever I sin, one of the things that I said, Lord, I don't have anybody else to go to. You and you alone. I do not have any other person that I can share my issue with. You and you alone. But one person I can absolutely be honest is with you. And you have that hidden life with God. If you have that hidden life with God, if you have a secret life with God, and if you don't pretend in the presence of God, one day he will openly honor you. But if you in your secret despise God, like Achan did, if you hide from God, and you do not open before God, if you're not honest before God, and there's a time for honest, being honest before God, not after defeat has taken place like the way it happened in Achan's situation. The first people who were judged in the church were people who were pretending before God. Husband and wife. They were pretending. The Bible says, why did Satan fill your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? What were they doing? They were pretending. And one of the things that you do not do with God, don't pretend. Be honest. And if you're honest, and if you say, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. And you can confess it as many times as you can. Keep on confessing until it becomes a reality. You see, the command is to obey God. You just obey, the love will follow. The emotions will follow. You keep doing it. Do the things that you did at first, the emotions will follow. But if you do not, if you pretend, there's no hope. The greatest commendation that you can get from God on this side of eternity, like God spoke to Nathaniel, behold, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile, there's no deceit. No deceit. A true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. So we'll look at, just recap, encounterings with God. First, you're despairing. Despairing means you lost all hope. One hope in your life. You lost him. Why do you despair? Because you lose the teaching. Get back to the teaching. Second, people who are fearing, fearful. Why do we fear? Greatest fear, the fear of death. God says, do not fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and of love and of sound mind. Verse third kind, the disillusioned disciple. Why are they disillusioned? Because they do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. They have a very, very myopic understanding of the scriptures. Disillusioned disciples. Disoriented. They lost their compass. They've lost their focus. They're all over the place. The discomfited. Embarrassed ones. You don't have to be embarrassed. Because Jesus has come to take your embarrassment away. The doubting disciples ask God, Lord, help thou my unbelief. The seventh one, the defeated disciple. And if you deal with all this, you'll become a what? A delivered disciple and a delivering people. Not only deliver yourself, but you'll deliver others also. You know what God is going to entrust into your hands? A ministry of deliverance. What is ministry of deliverance? Just not to cast out demons. Every time you speak the truth, your life itself will be a ministry. Your life, your witness will be a ministry. And you will say, you know what? Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just on time. And you will say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know why? Because they encountered the risen Lord. So what should you ask God for? Lord, I need to encounter you. I need to have a personal encounter with you. I tell you, children, God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. The person who challenges me in the most in the Bible is a small fellow called Samuel. Small. He was probably 5 or 6 or 7 years old. But what a boy! What a boy! He puts the entire ministry class to shame. Because one boy who loves God, who's obedient. You know what the Bible says? Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Can you do that? And he heard the voice of God. Samuel, Samuel. And he encountered God, and after this, his life changed. You know what the Bible says? He was established as a prophet in Israel from Dan to Beersheba, and not even one word that came out of his mouth fell to the ground. You know why? Because he encountered God. He heard the voice of God. You hear God, things will change. You have an encounter with God, your life will change. Even with Saul, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he started prophesying, and the Bible says he was turned into a new man. You know why? He had an encounter with God. But later on, he forgot that encounter. And he went into witchcraft. But if you have an encounter, he will change your life. And just not for now, for all eternity. It will drastically change your life. Drastically. It will be a radical shift. Okay, and you'll be a witness for him. Ask God for that. He is not a respecter of persons. You can be a young, you can be as old as, 5 years old? Like Samuel was. The Bible says the entire household of Cornelius was saved. All those who heard, meaning if small children were there, all those who heard, they were saved. They were speaking in other tongues. You know why? The Bible says in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. What is the condition for the spirit to be poured out in your life? You should have what? Flesh. That's all you need to have. That's all. That's the condition. That is an act that God is going to do. Sovereignly. And once you have that encounter with God, your life will change. You will have a different countenance. You have a different disposition. Your disposition will change. Young people, you'll have joy in your life. You'll have joy. I mean, this be joy unspeakable, full of glory. Like Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. Even though having not seen them, you love him. And are filled with what? Unspeakable joy, full of glory. Unspeakable joy, full of glory. You know what? Your life will change. You will have joy in your life. You will be a man, like Pastor says, you will have both. You will have a man who's of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but you will also be filled with the oil of gladness. You know why? Because you have encountered the risen Savior. I remember Arthur Katz, in one of his testimonies, in his interviews, he says, you know how I got saved? Because there was one small Gentile believer, he was a Jew, one Gentile Christian who had a smile always in her face, and I used to talk to her, and I said, how come you have got this smile on your face? Because he said, because of the joy of God in my life. Then he said, he kept on saying, the joy of God, the joy of God. And one day he said, I'm so frustrated with this girl. Next time she says the joy of God, I'm going to do something to her. And then she said, and he said, how do you know that God lives? You know what he said? Looked at her with simplicity in her heart. She said, I know that God lives because he lives in me. That's all. And that one word changed his life. One word changed his life. Small girl. Big man. One girl. You know why? He lives because he lives in my heart. I love that song, no? I serve a risen Savior. He is in the world today. Whatever men may say, I still will believe. You know why? Because he lives within my heart. That's it. That's a witness that you have in your heart. So a lot of despairing people, a lot of fearful people, a lot of discomforted. I like that word, no? One thing you will learn in our church is English, at least. What is that? Embarrassed. Embarrassed. Don't have to be embarrassed. You know why? He took our shame away. But all you need to be honest. Okay? Shall we stand? Shall we rise to our feet this morning? And I would challenge all the young people, young children, be honest with God. Even if you are not honest with your parents, be honest with God. Maybe it's not easy for you to be honest with your parents. Because if they're like me, you know, they'll say, how did you do this to me? But God will never say that. God is never taken by surprise by anything that you do. Okay. God was never taken by surprise with what David did. God was never taken by surprise with what Moses did. He was never taken by surprise what Peter did. In fact, he told Peter, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me how many times? Three. But I have prayed for you, Peter. I prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. And when you have been restored, what should you do? Strengthen your. All that you need to do is come back to Jesus. Be honest with me. Did you catch anything? And you would say what? No, Lord. Be honest. As I told you, the easiest thing is to be what? Honest with God. If you do not get anything from this today's message, all the D's you might have forgotten. And you have got a D grade in today's message. But one thing that you can always be honest with God. And if you're honest, he will meet you. And I'm trying to practice that in my own life. Lord, I do not want to pretend. I do not want to be at any position in my life that I'm not true inside and outside. Okay. Blessed is a man in whom there is no guile or deceit. That is what Jesus was. In his mouth and lips, there was no deceit. And what happened to the bride who followed him everywhere? In their lips was found no deceit. It does not say that they were holy, they were blameless, or they were pure. No. In their mouth was found no deceit. They were absolutely honest with God. God loves honest people. And he will do anything for honest people. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we want to come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, many of us might have faced defeat in our private lives. And we have been pretending all this while, showing what we are not. But you spoke to us a message of deliverance, that you don't have to pretend, that you can be honest. For the Son of Man did not come to condemn, but to save. But this is the condemnation, your word says, the Lord, through your Son, that light has come into the world. But men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But whoever brought his works out of darkness and into the light, they were saved. That's what you said through your apostle Paul. You said, despise the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. Bring them out into the light. Bring them out into the light. Lord, you hate pretense. You hate flattery. But your word says, blessed is the man who loves rebuke. Blessed is the man who is not offended because of me. Lord, and this morning I pray that we will receive your gentle rebuke. Because our defeat is not a problem for you. Our despair is not a problem for you, is not an issue at all for you. Because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even ask or even think. All you're looking for is that we acknowledge our failure and be honest with you. Like the prodigal said, Lord, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be even called your disciple. Things changed, Lord. And I pray, Father, for every brother, every sister, beginning with me, we will begin to become honest with you once more so that we might experience more of your forgiveness, more of your divine power, more of your light. Because you said if we confess, you are faithful and just, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us pure. These things I have written to you that you may not sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate. Even Jesus Christ the righteous, who is forever at the right hand making intercession for us. But all he wants us to be is honest. He who hides his sin will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes will obtain mercy. And we believe, O Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Your disciples were defeated, Lord. They were defeated. And you're showing to us, all of us, through the life of your disciples, that without your spirit and without encountering you and without trusting you, we can do nothing, O Lord. Even if we try, we will be doing in the power of our flesh and we will fail. We will be abject failures. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will encounter us once again. I pray, Father, that you would find brothers and sisters here who want to seek you, who want to live honest before your eyes, who do not want to pretend, who are sick and tired of hypocrisy and pretense. And they will say, Lord, there is deceit in my life. I am a Jacob. I want to become Israel. And you are able to do, O Lord, exceedingly abundantly. Some of them wrestling, O Lord, even now. Some of them struggling with unbelief and doubt in their hearts. I pray, Father, Lord, you would help our unbelief. Meet us at the point of our need this morning. Lord, you wish that every one of us will live victorious Christian lives. A life of victory. That's what resurrection tells all of us. It tells us that we can live a life victorious. Victory over sin, victory over the devil, and victory over this world. Victory over our flesh, victory over the old man. That we do not have to be defeated and live lives of defeat. That we can be victorious. But all you want from us is honesty. And as we heard, Lord, it is easy to be honest before you. Enable us, Lord, to be honest with you, O Lord, in our private lives, in our secret lives. To go back home, settle our accounts with you. Examine our lives. And to love truth. Because you desire truth, O Lord. Even in our inward parts, O Lord. In the core of our being. Make us real. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. Even as your children go about the rest of the week, that you would go ahead of them. You would straighten crooked paths for them, O Lord. And Lord, we speak over each one of our lives. The sun will not smite us by day, nor the powers of darkness over our lives in the night. But Lord, you will deliver us from all evil. You will deliver our soul. You will deliver us even in our going out and our comings in from this time forth and even forever. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I come.